Receive the word of God today. How many are ready to eat today? Amen. Well, we're going to get some rhema today. Amen. At this time, as we prepare our hearts, let's give Pastor Laura a big hand clap. Amen. Come on, let's give her a big hand clap as she comes up and brings the word. Amen.
I love our pastors. You know, our pastors and leaders are so faithful and they're so dedicated. But you know, we only clap for Jesus, right? Yeah. We only clap for Jesus. Yeah. He is the one that we come to hear through the word week after week. And so my prayer today is that our hearts are open and ready just to receive all that God has for us. Because how many of us know that God still speaks today? He still speaks to hearts that are open and ready to hear and to receive what he is saying to us today. So this morning, I invite you to turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. My name is Pastor Laura Brian, our senior pastor Brian's wife. For those of you that are new and visiting us for the first time, I'm stepping in for him today as he's at our other campuses. God is just doing something new, something fresh here at Chapel of Change. Our mission is to give fresh hope to people, and we give it through the word of God and teaching the saints to pray and to worship God in spirit and truth, not just here on Sundays or midweek, but at home, at the store, at work, everywhere, everywhere. We carry the aroma of Christ. So 2 Timothy chapter 2 is a letter to Timothy. And the purpose of this letter was to deal with matters affecting the leaders and the congregation. And so Apostle Paul writes this letter to young Timothy, who was referred to as a beloved and faithful son in the Lord. He was a co-laborer with Apostle Paul. And one of his strong character traits was that he was loyal. He was loyal. He was commended by Apostle Paul to the Philippian church as one of proven character and faithfulness. That was his title because that was his lifestyle. He was proven in his faithfulness to God and to Apostle Paul. And so Paul writes this letter to Timothy, among many things, to warn him to be strong and to not be afraid. He says to Timothy, he says, use your gifts with boldness. He said, boldness, because it's not easy to step out in the gifts that God has given to us. Many times the enemy comes and tries to cause us to fear so that we'll be timid and we'll be shy and we'll hold back on what God has given us. But if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he says that the righteous are bold as a lion. So we are bold as a lion. So Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, he says, be bold. Use the gifts that God has given to you. He says, I remind you, young Timothy, stir up the gifts of God that he has given to you. Because God has not given you, he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Don't be ashamed. Hold fast. Be strong in the Lord. And so we get to the second chapter of Timothy, and towards the beginning, Apostle Paul uses three metaphors, three comparisons to draw a picture to Timothy so he can get the picture a little clearer. And he uses three metaphors, three examples of a soldier, an athlete, and a farmer. And he says to Timothy, look at the soldier. A soldier must endure hardship and must be focused on the mission that he or she is on. He says that a good soldier won't entangle himself or get caught up with the affairs of this life. And if you are a believer today, I hope you know that we are at war. We are in a spiritual war. And everything before it takes place in the spirit, in the physical realm, it always takes place first in the spiritual realm. The Bible says we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities and spiritual forces. forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. A good soldier will endure hardship and be focused on the mission. Then he says, look at the athlete. An athlete must train vigorously and be disciplined. Discipline doesn't come naturally. We have to go at it over and over and over again. An athlete must train vigorously and he must compete according to the rules in order to win the race, or he or she will get disqualified. They have to compete according to the rules. There are rules to follow as an athlete. And as a believer, there are rules to follow. You see, we can't do our own thing. We can't live our own life. We have to follow the rules. Our book of life, it has our instructions, our manual for how we are to live and operate on a day-to-day basis. Follow the rules, Timothy. And thirdly, look at the farmer, he says. A farmer must work hard and be patient. He must sow seeds before he or she can harvest a crop. Sow first, and then you will reap. And as believers, we know the sowing and reaping principle. If we are to sow good things, we must first sow what is right in order to produce rather the good fruit. We sow good things to produce good fruit. So be focused, be disciplined, and be patient. And now we come to the 14th chapter of 2 Timothy, second chapter of the 14th verse, rather. And I'm going to be reading from the New King James Version. And if you have your Bible, I recommend that you follow along with your Bible. And as I mentioned frequently, I don't refer to an app on your phone. I really don't, and I really mean it. If we are going to be students of the Word of God, we have got to have the Bible, the Word of God. We have to have it so that we can write and meditate and marinate and saturate in it. We can highlight, we can underline. How many students are here today? How many of you, when you were in school or are in college, know that you have to read the book and that you have to take notes and that you have to study hard if you want to pass the test? It is no different, and it is much more necessary if you are a student of the Word of God. Don't just settle for a quick 2-minute drive-through reading of the app, because that is not going to work. And I'm telling you the truth, and I mean it. You cannot think that you are going to survive or get by on a couple of morsels. You have to have the book, the Word of God, open, and you have to read it. And it has to be every day. And I'm not talking about a devotional. I am not talking about a devotional. Those are nice, those are cute, but that is definitely not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about a Bible curriculum. I'm talking about the raw and pure, undefiled Word of God. People have good thoughts and good opinions, but God has a revelation for you. And in order for you to get the revelation of God, you've got to be in the Word of God for yourself. Don't depend on what God told somebody else. Depend on what God is telling you for yourself. So if you don't have a Bible, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to strongly encourage you to pick one up today before you leave this place, because we just ordered a bunch of them and we got them in the back and they're free for you. As a matter of fact, while I'm preaching, if the ushers can go get the Bibles, just go get the Bibles and have them in your hand and have them ready as the people come out today. That's right. All right. Starting in chapter 14. This is what Apostle Paul is reminding Timothy, but also the church today. He's saying, remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Verse 15, be diligent. Now that word diligent means to examine attentively, to give care and consideration to. And he says to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, handling the word of God correctly. But notice that it said to present yourself approved. That means it takes our participation in presenting ourselves approved. And I remind you, in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Word of God says that we, as believers in Christ, are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. That means it's our bare minimum. It's our basic. It's our reasonable service unto God. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. That's the worldly talk. That's the vain. That's the unnecessary idol. That's basically garbage. It does nothing to edify, encourage, or build you up. It's basically gossip, trash talk. That's where slandering comes from. You got nothing else to do. You don't have the Word of God in you, so you're just going to talk about what everybody else in the world is talking about. You remember that show, Lucy? That's a prime example. Had nothing else to talk about, so all they would talk about is everybody and everything in a bad way. So verse 17, it says, for their message will spread like cancer. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. Having this seal, the Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How many is that? How many is that? Everyone. That means if you are here in the house of the Lord today and you have already named the name of Christ and you have already surrendered your life to Jesus, that means you are to depart from iniquity. That means no more. That means you are to remove yourself from the things and the ways of this world. Sin, unrighteousness, iniquity, wickedness. It says, depart everyone who names the name of Christ. Verse 20. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. And here's my message. Verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor. A vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. A vessel for honor will be sanctified. Sanctified. A vessel of honor is an instrument that God can use because he or she has been sanctified, which means consecrated, which means set apart from the things of this world. The things of this world. You see, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. And it's not just a nice bumper sticker. It is a fact that we are no longer of this world, even though we live in this world. I want to share something with us today, that there is a difference between isolation and consecration. Isolation are those that set themselves apart from people, meaning they don't come outside, they don't have anything to do with people, they try to stay away from people, they are isolationists, they isolate themselves. They're like monks. They don't come out to fellowship with the people. Now, consecration, on the other hand, is those that set themselves apart from the things of this world. This world, not people, this world, the corrupting, contaminating things of this world, what the book of John refers to, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those are the contaminating, corrupting, unrighteous, filthy things of this world. That is why it is so absolutely important that we watch what comes into our eyes. We can't just look at anything. We have to be careful at the things we look at. Primarily the things that we purposely put before our eyes. The things on television. The things on Facebook. Everything around us. We have to be careful what comes into our eyes. Because it is the window into our soul. And yes, eventually it will corrupt and contaminate us. All the things that we are exposing our eyes to. And the same way, the things that we desire. You know, the word lust means unforbidden desires. And the Bible says, don't lust the things of the flesh or the pride of life. Many times we have lust and we have pride because we want what other people have. That's called covetousness. The Bible says in the 10th command, do not covet. Be content with the things that God gives you. Don't lust. Don't covet what somebody else has. You pray and you ask God according to His will and His good pleasure, and He'll give you the things that you need. And so we sanctify ourselves through God, and we consecrate ourselves. Why? So that we can have an impact on people, on people's lives, in our community, in our society. You see, that's the difference. An isolationist won't do that, but one that has been sanctified and consecrated will. Why? Because they'll be a vessel for honor that has been sanctified and useful for the master and prepared for every, not just some, but every good work. And when God says go, you go. There is no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes. You are ready. You've got the fire of the Holy Spirit that indwells you and consumes you and gives you the boldness to go out to this lost and dying generation and impact their life with the word of God. You don't have to be shy and timid. Oh, what if they reject me? That's fear. And if you've got fear, we're going to deal with that today at the altar. But God's not giving you that type of spirit. He's not giving you a spirit of fear that causes you to not do what God's called you to do. You see, we live in this world, but we are not of this world. And so when we go into this world, meaning into our places where we conduct business or do shopping or banking or whatever it is, we can boldly walk up to somebody with the love of Jesus and we can pray for them. And we don't have to work ourselves up because the fire's already in us. We've spent time with God that morning. We've been in His presence. He has already spoken to us. I was coming out of Smart and Final the other day, and I was walking by. These are the things we can discern on our own. I'm walking out of the store into my car, into the parking lot, and I see a lady that is sitting off to the side, not right in front of the store, but off to the side. And she's sitting down, and she's got her head down, and she's got her purse next to her. And I couldn't see from a distance, but I knew in my spirit something wasn't right. And so I walk up to her, and as I get close up to her, I see tears streaming down her face. And I go and I sit next to her and I put my purse down and I look at her and I said, are you okay? And she looks at me and she says, no. And then she begins to weep and she begins to weep and she says, I was praying. She says, you don't understand. I was praying. I was asking God to give me a sign. I was hoping somebody would come and pray with me. Let me tell you, we can't do that in the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. We can't do that on our own strength. It goes against us. We don't want to get out of our comfort zone, out of our convenience, out of our complacency. We just want to come to church, get a good word, a little massage maybe, and then go back home and do nothing with it. That is not what the people of God are supposed to do. That is not the body of Christ. God says you go out into this world and you speak my word into them. So I prayed with her. I gave her a hug. I took her to the train and I sent her on her way. And I asked her if she knew Jesus. And before we left, she did. And as I was leaving her, another person comes next to me. Do you go to this church? Yes. Do you need prayer? Yes. So I lay my hands on this person and start praying with that person. You see what God does? You see how God opens doors? We just got to be willing to walk through them. And this can happen every day, all the time. Not just once a year. Not just once in a while. Not just when we're in a good mood. God prepares us. So what is my main point today? Sanctification. So we can be a vessel of honor, ready. You know what sanctification does? It produces holiness. Holiness. Purification. We have a responsibility in the process of sanctification. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3 through 5, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles, meaning non-believers who do not know God. You see, if you really love God and you really want to follow God and you really want to serve God with all your heart, you will draw near to him. And then he promises that he will draw near to you. If you mean business, God means business. If you are serious, God will show up. If you are ready to decrease, God will increase. If you are ready to become nothing, God will become everything in your life. If you are ready to die to self, God will fully live through you and in you. But you've got to come to God. You've got to participate in the process of sanctification. And God says that he will sanctify us through and through. He says in his word, as I get ready to close, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23 and 24, he says, now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. Not partially, completely. He says through and through. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because he who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. I want to say this to us, my brothers and sisters, that we here at Chapel of Change are on a mission. And we are on a mission and we are headed toward a deeper level of sanctification. What does that mean? That we are praying that the fire of God would fall. We are not holding back. We are asking the all-consuming fire of God to come and to purge and to purify and to cleanse through and through completely, spirit, soul, and body. That means that Christ, he is coming and he is looking and we are getting ready to be a bride that is without blemish and without spot, without wrinkle. One that is blameless, blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want us to know, I want to encourage us that there is no sin. There is no struggle. There is no demon that can come against the power of God and win. That is good news. Because if you have been struggling, if you have been struggling, if you have had a weakness, an area of struggle, a sin, a stronghold, something that has been holding you back from fully surrendering God, today is your day. And this is where my part ends and where your part begins. And you have to, for yourself, be willing to engage and to participate in the process of sanctification. And so I have a question for us today. What sin have you not given to God? What stronghold has held you captive or in bondage? You got to call it what it is. If it's sin, call it sin. What is it? What is it that has held you in bondage? Is it fear? Is it anxiety? Depression? Pride? Lust? Is it a lukewarm spirit? What is it? Because God said that he came with a purpose to heal the brokenhearted, to set those who are captive free, to recover the sight of the blind. That's called deception. Are you dealing with deception? Doubt. What is it? Today, God gives fresh hope. And he gives it through his grace and through his mercy. I want to remind us this morning, because in a moment we're gonna play a song. And this is where we get to come to the altar. And this is where we get to come real and raw and open and transparent. Because God says he sees everything. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Let me tell you, that is good news. The reason why is because he sees your condition, your spiritual condition right now. And he is still calling you today to come boldly to his throne of grace, where he will give you mercy and help in your time of need. So what is it today that you are struggling with? Don't hold back and don't think that you have it all together, because God says that he gives grace to the humble, but he resists the proud. So you ask your God, while we begin to play the song right now, ask the Lord, God, show me. What is it? Open my eyes to see and open my ears to hear. I'm going to ask Pastor Irene and Brother James and anybody else that's helping to just come. We're going to lay out sheets. They're blank. With pens.
Come on, raise it.
And I'm going to ask those who are willing to come to the altar.
Ooh, that's good, y'all. Raise it.
And to write that down. Whatever that is, it has a name and a function. You write it down. I'm not talking about a job. I'm not talking about needing finances. I'm talking about struggles and strongholds. You come before the Lord and you write those down. And here's my commitment to you, as I said to the other campuses. I'm taking all of these with me. I'm taking them into the secret place of prayer. I'm getting on my face and my knees. I'm laying hands over each one of them, one by one. And I'm praying that the mercy of God would meet you, as I pray for myself. I'm praying that God would break every stronghold in the name of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus. If that's you, I make a commitment. I'm going to fight for you and I'm going to fight with you. If you mean business, God means business. The altar is open, my beloved. Don't waste your chance. We're going to worship. Hallelujah.